one tell you what you can be. When God created you, he said you just like me. Hold your head up, it's time to stand tall. Your beauty says you can have it all.
Welcome to this Thursday night's edition of Wake Up Women Weddings, our show Before I Do, and After I Do, with your host, Suzanne Streisauer, and my co-host, Nicole Brandon. And we have a fabulous show tonight and a really interesting lineup and perspective about relationships and meeting the perfect man and creating really great relationships. So, Nicole, I'm thrilled that we're doing our show tonight, and what a great topic we have for tonight.
I'm so absolutely excited about our guest tonight, and I know that you're going to introduce her and share a little bit about her, but I had the opportunity to hear our guest speak at a Toastmasters event, and she was sharing her love story, and not only did it just blow me away and just enchant my heart, but the entire audience was just stunned. She had them laughing and crying, and everybody wants to fall in love the way that she's fallen in love, so I thought it's perfect that she's come on. And not only that, but she's a Mars Venus coach, and I can tell you from personal experience that she is the single best coach that I've ever come across. If you're ever looking for help with relationships, looking to be inspired, I think that she's the person that we surely want to call. So I'm just really thrilled about our guest tonight.
Well, and you know, that's a great point, Nicole, because being a Mars Venus coach is really a special certification, and you're a Mars Venus coach too, so talk about what that is so people can really have an appreciation of what that means.
Well, to be a Mars, first of all, John Gray, who created the Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, you know, who is our relationship guru on this planet, decided that he really wanted to be able to share this information really across the world. And as we know, you know, any individual is only one person, so he has created his program, his very best expertise and his very best advice. And he has rolled it into a coaching program, not just for individuals, but also for business as well. But his relationship advice is unmatched. It's just stellar. But what it means to be a Mars Venus coach is it's a very exclusive thing. They do not take, it's not like everybody that wants to be a coach says, okay, I'm going to sign up and become a Mars Venus coach. This will be lucrative. This will be productive. It doesn't work that way. You have to be perfect. Profoundly intuitive. You have to have a heart and a spirit and a soul and understand relationships at such a high level to even be considered to be a Mars Venus coach. Literally, they look around the world and they handpick people that they think could represent the most profound information and really teach people in a way that everything that is said can make a difference in people's lives. And so the fact that Lisa was picked, you know, I'm honored that I was picked, but I know when they picked her that, you know, they just got a gem. I mean, she is just an amazing representation of the work, and I'm just so proud of her and so proud that they've picked somebody just so incredible. So,
and, you know, that speaks also to Wake Up Women, because the founder of Wake Up Women, Karen Mayfield, is also a Mars-Venus coach. So it's pretty profound, all these different amazing women that we have that are part of the Mars-Venus club, shall we say. So
yes.
Without further ado, Nicole, you ready? I'm going to introduce our guest tonight. I'm thrilled that we have her with us.
Me too.
Okay. So our guest for tonight is Lisa Davis, and she's a certified relationship, dating, and life coach and trainer with Mars-Venus Coaching and Training. She was trained personally by John Gray, who's the author of Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, who is recognized as the number one relationship expert in the world, just like what Nicole was saying. And Lisa guides women on how to have great and fulfilling relationships and find their ideal partners. Among all the blessings in her own life, she is most happy about being married to the man of her dreams. They had a beautiful wedding in this past September. So welcome to the show, Lisa.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here and share my story. And about getting married, wedding is definitely a great topic. So when you mentioned that, I was like, oh, my God, wedding. This is what just happened to me in September, and I can't wait to talk about it.
So, you know, it brings me to a question that how did being a Mars-Venus facilitator sort of lead you into this path of relationships to meet this man of your dreams? How are those things related? Or maybe they're not, but I'm, you know, just curious because I'm going to presume that you were a Mars-Venus coach before September.
Yeah, exactly. They're very related, actually, because what I did, I started with Mars-Venus coaching. I was a coach before that. And actually, I was in a previous relationship, and then I was just kind of in the middle, and then I was figuring it out for myself as well. I had plenty of experience. And then I was like, okay, so now I can really take the stuff that Joan Gray is teaching, other people are teaching, and apply it to my own life and see how that works. So I took the principles of that and of coaching, relationship coaching. And what I did for myself, I wrote down a list of everything I wanted in a relationship. So for me, it was 109 things.
Yes, I was just going to jump in and say, please tell them how many were on your list, because other people have like three. And how many, I'm sorry because I interrupted you, were on your list?
Well, three, yeah, that's nice. Maybe for some people, I have 109 things.
109 things.
There is a reason behind 109 things, because this is the number of beads, like on the prayer beads, there are 109 of them. And then someone told me that that's a magic number and that's what you should write. So I had to take my previous list and break down and take away some semicolons and add some extra just to get it to the right number.
That's fascinating. So normally, I don't think most people could even think of 109 things, Lisa. So from that, was there like the top 10 or the top 10 that were like, you know, then you had categories, or were they really 109 distinctly different things? And would you be willing to share some of those with us? Because I think that's just fascinating. Like, what are your top 10 and why are those your top 10? Lisa? Lisa?
If we lost
Nicole?
Her, she'll call. I'm still here.
Yeah,
so
she'll call back.
She'll call back. So, I have to tell you, and as she tells you on the story, I had my own list of what I was looking for in somebody, and I thought that my list was great. I thought that my list was amazing, and I thought that what I had on my list was really what was important to me. And then Lisa helped me with my list. And it was amazing the things that she had said to me that I said, oh, my gosh, yes, actually, that means way more to me than anything on my list. Or, of course, I would want that in my life, and I never even thought of putting that on a list. Or, yes, I wouldn't want a life with that. And so it was like she really knows how to key in on the heart and the spirit and the soul and that interconnection between two beings, not just, you know, the frou-frou around, you know, what we think things are supposed to look like, but what it should really feel like and
wow.
What life should be like when you're together. And I think that that's what makes her such an extraordinary coach, is that she really knows how to do that. So.
Well, it sounds like she expands the box hugely too, Nicole. Lisa, are you back with us? Okay, so what I want for you to do, Nicole, is if you'll go and start telling us a little bit about what your list is and what she had you expand your list into. What did she give you that you already didn't have on your list?
The things that were really, you know, sort of profoundly exceptional was really in the ways that you would feel in being with somebody. What, you know, whether that be in a compassionate way, whether that be in an eloquence way, whether that be the way that they are when they're around your family, or the way that you feel supported and loved, or the way that you always feel, you know, nurtured in a different way. It was the way that she phrased things made so much sense to me. And I have to tell you, before she comes on, I was invited to her wedding. And not only doing a bridal show and doing the bridal weekends that I do, but I always say that I know more people than anybody I know, and I always laugh about that, but it's really true. And in the past year, I was in a wedding in Vienna, I went to a wedding in Italy, in a castle in Italy. I mean, I have been around the world at weddings, and if I, you know, had the time, I would do nothing but go to weddings every day. I have people that invite me, and very rarely now, you know, I have to handpick the weddings I want to go to, and I really wanted to go to her wedding because her love story was so extraordinary. And I can tell you that the prayers, you know, we talked about the vows, doing, you know, a show on the vows and on ceremonies, the things that were read, the things that were said in the vows to one another, the look in his eyes when he looked at her, I have never seen a man look at a woman that way. And the people that were there were so full of love for the bride and groom. It was really, you know, we talk about fairy tale weddings, and I really believe that Lisa had that. So.
Well, you know, that's great. So, Lisa, I think you're back with us. Sorry, we're having a few
I'm
technical...
I'm back. I called in from another line. Yeah, for some reason, I think Verizon, which is supposed to be the best, is having some trouble. So here I am.
Okay, so what we were talking about was your 109 different things that you wanted in your relationship. So will you give us like your kind of like what your top 10 were and why those were your top 10 and then, you know, some other colorful ones that you feel like sharing?
Oh, this is great. I just it makes me want to open up my list because I did have top 10 over there. So I've got to go ahead and look at that. So because there's so many, so I did a top 10, and I actually divided into musts and wants and nice haves as well. Just not to be too picky, right? So top 10 for me was really that would be a person that we are totally in love with, and we can both feel that, and that we want to get married to each other, that he wants to have children with me. So two children, it has to be. So, of course, I told him that pretty much on the second date. And so he had to be successful. And there were a few more things, but the most important ones for me were really the feelings towards each other and how we feel and what he I would like him to be like. He needed to be adventurous and successful and confident. So... he also ideally would be taller than me and have dark hair, right? He'd have interests like travel and things like this, which were some of the other criteria that he needed to have.
Now, did you imagine him in your mind as you were doing this? Did you kind of find and think about him from that perspective, or just you knew yourself and you knew what you thought was going to work for you?
Well, that's a good question. So what I did, I actually decided to, this is it, I'm going to create what I want. So I sat down in the Starbucks, I actually moved to California, so I went to Anthony Robbins seminar at the time. It was called Date with Destiny. And then it's like, hey, I'm coming for Date with Destiny, so I'm going to create my Date with Destiny. And I sat down in Starbucks in L.A., and then I just went ahead and I wrote down everything that I thought I wanted. Everything that I knew I wanted. And from coming from the sense that not being realistic, but actually at the core, what is it that I want? And coming from past relationships, right, and actually like the ideal man that I would want to have.
Wow.
Yeah.
So now, did you
try limitations. How did I visualize that? It's really important, some of the next steps in terms of I may have gotten cut out at this point, so I wrote down what I have to offer and my massive action plan after that. But what I kept doing afterwards is really the key is not to just write that list and then bury it somewhere, okay? So what I did, I actually took it and I started showing it to people. I started... showing it to my friends reading it out to them. They were blown away by the number of things, and they actually liked it, and they started writing their own lists. So my roommate at the time, I just went to her wedding as well. We did online dating at the same time, so I got married almost at the same time. And I would actually, every morning, I would visualize
myself being with this man already, before I even met him, right, this perfect man. Actually, I felt like I fell in love already at the moment that I wrote that list. It was just so perfect. So, but the idea was really to see it and see myself happy in the relationship already before I even met him.
Well, you have done a good job with this, and I'm wondering, when you start with people and helping them, like, look for that perfect person and begin to create that list, like in your case is 109 things, and I love the symbolism behind 109 things, how do you have people start? Where do you have women start with these lists? Because sometimes people just look at you with a blank stare, or they can maybe come up with five things, like Nicole said at the beginning. Where do you start with people?
Yeah, I start from what they think they want, basically. If I were to ask you, for example, what's your ideal man, what would be something that you want in a relationship?
I would say someone who, where I had a reciprocity of love with and shared similar values, where I didn't feel like I was with a square peg in a round hole, but someone that I could really work together with in life and feel joyful about doing that.
Absolutely, and that's a great start, right? And what else would you like to see? Like, if that was ideal, perfect man for you, what else would you like him to be like?
I would like him to be on the same page with me mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically, so that, you know, that energy kind of could roll out in all those different ways. It's funny because I'm not saying anything necessarily about, you know, what somebody looks like, but more just about who they are with me in the world and what we share.
Absolutely. And that's really very, very important, the similar values, right? Not necessarily the looks, because especially men, they very much, they go for the looks. Women sometimes do that as well, when they focus on the physical and not really looking behind that. So that's really important. And then if you had some similar interests with him, what would that be?
Well, spirituality, and I'm going to say, you know, or for some people that may be religious, but for me it's spiritual, sort of sharing a multidimensional perspective of life, a love of animals, love of the land, a respect for one another, you know, really shared values, I think, and also a shared energy. Like, it wouldn't work for me if I had somebody who is type A+, you know, because I'm a bit more relaxed at this point, although I have my moments.
Okay, good, perfect. See, you're already coming out with a lot of things, and I'm sure that people on the line could also just start writing it, and it doesn't have to be 109 or anything like this, but just to unleash the imagination and think, if I could have anything I wanted, no limitations, perfect world, the magic wand, what would I like this man to be like? Right? It's not going to be perfect. Go ahead.
I just wanted to add in, because you sort of went very quickly over some points that I thought were really important for our listeners, when you said that, and then I wrote down what I have to offer him.
Yeah.
And then I created a massive action plan, and then I put down my must-haves, would nice to have or whatever that is. Can you just touch on what those lists look like and how you did that to make that list really come alive for our listeners?
Yes, definitely. And let me just, I'm just going to comment on the list, just one more thing, right, in terms of when we write a list for him, and then I'll get to my list of what I have to offer. Would that be okay?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, for example, as Zen was mentioning right here, I don't want him to be type A personality. So when we are writing those lists, it's really important to write everything in the positive, because like the law of attraction, we attract exactly what we write, even if it's in the negative. So if we write, I don't want him to be type A personality, who do you think we're going to attract?
What a great point, Lisa.
So, and some people, I don't want him to be, like, sick, or I don't want him to have children, I don't want him to do this, or not jealous, things like this. We just need to reverse everything, because people are coming from pain in past relationships, right? And they know what they don't want. So the idea is to really reverse that and write, what do we actually want? No negatives there at all. Everything in the positive. Okay? It really works. Otherwise, we'll get exactly what we write.
Brilliant advice. Thank you. That's really wonderful.
Yes,
that's also a great
reminder.
And in
terms of the list of now, the next thing is, it's not really leave it at that. Next thing is, because many people have that feeling, wow, you know, I want all this, but who am I really to get this type of person, right? Even if they're in a relationship, some people, they feel like they're not worthy or they feel like they're not enough somehow. And a great exercise to do here is write down, okay, so let's say I would write what I have to offer. Because, like, that I have a great personality, right? And I'm beautiful and easy to get along with. And I'll tell you about all my wonderful qualities there, right? I have certain interests, right? So, like, I like traveling and I like hiking. I like, you know, I'm just a great person to be with. You know, I'm the best thing that ever could possibly happen to him. So just really sell myself there to myself and to this other person. That's really important. And I think my last one was that I am really shy or something like this, but I had to somehow write that down. Yeah.
You're really shy. Wait a minute. From someone that knows you and loves you?
And that was a joke. That was a joke. Oh, very, yeah. After writing all this, I never recognized myself, right? So that was good. But the real key is now, the first thing is clarity, right? The second thing is know that we have to offer something. We are coming from the place of, listen, I am great, and this person will definitely, right person will definitely watch me, okay? So then we can just forget about this list, right, and do nothing and wait until this perfect person just knocks into our door, right, and then suddenly this is him, right? He opens the door, and most likely he's going to be a mailman at this point, right? Because not too many other men knock into our door.
Now, how long ago did you start this journey, Lisa? When did you start looking for your husband that you have now?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So, yeah, I wrote this list, a massive action plan of all the things I could do, right? Not just wait for him to knock into the door. So I wrote it down, and then I actually set down, I set some timeline for myself. By when will I meet this person? By when will I get married to this person and be in a relationship? So I decided to do that. So I... when we got married, it was about 18 months, actually, since the day we met each other. And when we got engaged, it was 9 months. So from the time I wrote down that I was going to get married, like, by the end of the year. So I didn't get married, but we got engaged, and I was perfectly happy. So I didn't mind waiting a few extra months.
Well, so that's the cycle of a baby. You know, you've had a creation in 9 months.
I like that. That's right. That's right. This is the whole creation. It's a little bit lag in the universe, right? You're just waiting. It can't just be born right away. Right. But I actually met him after I wrote that list. I didn't start dating right away, but after I started dating, I met him in about a month and a half after that. But I was going on a lot of dates and having tons of fun in the process. So
now,
it was a great reward as well.
If you don't mind sharing, because I was telling them, you know, on the onset of the show about this incredible speech that you gave at Toastmasters about that month and a half experience of your online dating. And I know Karen Mayfield is going to be talking to us as well about the Wake Up Women books, and one of her books is Looking for Love Online. And so I would love, if you don't mind sharing with, you know, our listeners, I would love you to share that story of your dating journey.
Yeah, absolutely. I wrote down, how am I going to find this man, right? Where am I going to look for him? So I had this plan, and then one of the items there was, well, if everything else fails, like my networking events and going out to places, whatever, looking at him for him in the supermarkets and things like that, I was like, oh, maybe I will try online dating. Because to me, online dating was something that only geeks would be doing that, and that definitely I have social skills and I can meet a man offline easily. That was my ritual belief. So I decided to do that because, like, hey, I thought, when else am I going to have this opportunity to even try to do this, right? So husband, because then later I'm going to be married. So, and then I did that. I signed up for like 3 or 4 dating websites. And then I was having such a blast that I realized that this is working so well that I don't really even need any other ways for me, right? So for some of my clients, it really does work, online dating. For some of them, different ways work better. So it depends on the person, but you really have to go with the right attitude then and do the right thing as well. So it was really nice. And my roommate at the time, I moved to California. She let me stay with her when I just moved there. She decided she's going to find her dream man too, and she's going to write her list, and she's going to do online dating with me as well. So the interesting thing is that we're both Russian, right? Came from Russia many years ago, and about the same age, and lived in the same place, and were matched with some of the same men as well. Okay? So I thought that they could give us like a 2-for-1 deal or something on some of those websites just because we're sending us the same type of people. Is that like a family package we have over there? So it was very funny. So because we started doing this, and then I was really straightforward. So I knew I wanted to get married and have 2 children. So I'm sure it would frighten some people, but I was 33 at the time, so this is what I wanted. And one of the first questions I asked in the Harmony, that's the process when you ask some questions there, is how many children do you want to have? And then, so one of the guys said, well, I want to have 6 or 7, but let's start with 1 and then we'll see how that goes, kind of thing. Like, wow, like 6 or 7. this is funny, okay? And then I come to my roommate, and then I tell her, listen, I got this guy who wants to have 6 or 7 children with me already. Is that pretty cool or what? And then she says, oh, yeah, you know what? I think I have a guy also who wants to have 6 or 7 children with me. So we go on, and then we look at this is the same guy with exactly the same answer. Right? So, oh my God, this guy, he wants to have 6 or 7 children with both me and my roommate. Is that a great start? So it was really interesting. You could compare notes, and then he wrote us exactly the same message to both of us. So it was funny to compare notes. We kind of told him that we are roommates, and then so it didn't work out with him that much. So next time we didn't tell anything. And we actually, one day my roommate came to me and I went out with someone and she said, well, guess who I'm going out with? And it's like, who are you going out with? And I said, well, I'm going out with John. It's like, oh, that's great. She said, well, I'm going out with your John. It's like, my John? I was like, yeah, the one you went out with 2 days ago. And then it's like, you're not really seriously interested in him. I was like, not really. So we went out with the same person, and it was a blast. So he didn't know what to do in the end when we kind of came in, and he found out that he saw me with my friend coming out of the same building. He was really stressed out about it, trying to figure out what happened. So, and then I told him that, you know, this woman, she's my roommate, and I know you're going out with her. And he says, well, what are we going to do? I like you both. What are we going to do? So it was very funny. But we definitely liked to compare notes because I recommended some book to him. He started reading this book and told it to my friend. My friend was telling me what books he's reading that I recommended. So it was like a great experience just to see really how men sometimes what they do is like they write the same thing, they have a template, and then you may be thinking that he is there just doing all those special things with you, but then he may have the same patterns with other women as well, just to keep that in mind when you're really looking for someone, not to get in a relationship so fast or committed so fast, but really test out the person if that's the right one for you, because he may be doing exactly the same thing with someone else the next day.
You know, that's kind of weird, and it begs the question, Lisa, for people who are doing online dating today, Do you have some do's and don'ts for them? Like, how do you coach people about online dating? Because obviously you're just sharing an interesting story about your own life and your roommate. But how do you coach people, or what do you suggest as tips for people around online dating and moving forward in that way?
Yeah, I definitely recommend, and that's what I recommend to my clients, to see what websites work for the person, right? They may have had a negative experience in the past, and maybe they used some free websites or certain websites that may not have been serving them. So sometimes they can try some paid websites and see what really works for them. And some of them are more serious relationship-oriented, and the other ones are more kind of like fun and lighter. So number one, I would say try different things, different websites. Number two, I would say it's all about the attitude. So I had one of the men that I went out with, you could see on his face that when he came in, like, he really had a negative attitude, right? And then he was upset at me because I didn't call him back. Usually it's the opposite. The women get upset. And I spoke to him, and it just, you could see that he didn't even believe in it. So he was doing it, but behind, in his mind, he thought, this would never work out. I've done it for a while. So if anyone goes out into the website thinking that this is not going to work for me, and like really with a closed mind and getting upset about every single person who rejects you, as people put it, then it's going to be a painful experience. So the idea is really to have fun with that, be light, and just be open. Be open about meeting people. What I recommend is have practice dates, basically. That's what I read in one of the books, and then decided to do it for myself. Not just look for the perfect man, but really go out and go in a lot of dates for people who look like they may be a remote possibility. Because some people, they'll look worse than the picture. They will be worse than the picture and the profile. Some people will be much better, and I was so surprised. And then some people were just perfect, like my husband. So both ways. So just open your mind, go out with as many people as possible to give it a chance, and try different sites, I think, would be the key things. And nice pictures.
Right. Yeah. Lisa, can you share a little bit about what made your husband different than everybody else you had met? And I love, like, the airport story. And could you just share some of those things? Because I really do want to talk about your dream wedding.
Yeah, well, when we first met, he came in with a rose, okay, on the first date. No one else did that. And just somehow it all clicked from the very beginning. It was a natural feeling. And we connected from the very beginning, and he listened to me. It's a great thing that men do. He listened to me. He looked at me. Well, just the way he looked at me, the way he listened to me. He definitely liked to ask questions about myself. We walked on the beach. Basically, the way I met him, it turned out that when I moved to California, I went to this beach when my friend suggested that I move there, and I made a decision to go to California and meet him at this place when I came for Date with Destiny seminar, right? And then when I met him, it turned out it was in the same exact spot where I made a decision to move to California for my Date with Destiny. And I've never met anyone else there. It was the first time I came there afterwards. So it just kind of happened with Date with Destiny. And Paul is very fast. So he called me every day after this. Unlike some other people who says you have to wait for them to call you and you really don't know if they're interested or not. So he definitely, if a man is interested, he will pursue. So he definitely pursued me. And he invited me for his birthday at the first date. And on the second date, he brought his lily for me. So it just really was sweet. On the, on the fourth date, he gave me a card that I couldn't really read it completely without the glasses, but I missed the part. So in the end, he wrote that I was his girlfriend, basically. That I'm his girlfriend on the fourth date. He wrote it for me. I was like, wow, this was an important part that I missed. So, and then about 2 weeks and a half after this, we were I was flying from Joe Gray's ranch to Robin's seminar, and I was flying through L.A. That was one of my transfers, and he decided to come in and meet me there. And I was getting just for to have dinner because he hasn't seen me for like 5 days, which was an eternity for him. And then I came out of the plane thinking, oh, my God, what am I going to do? My phone died. So now I have to go charge my phone, go to the bathroom, then get out of the airport, then meet him. And then I have to go back in and, like, check in. And this is, like, such a pain, although it's nice that I'm going to meet him. So I come out, and here stands Paul. He's right by the doors, by the gate. Like, wow, like, how did you get in here? He said, well, I came in to meet you, and I told him at the check-in that I went to go and see my girlfriend. And they said, well, you cannot come in there because you don't have a ticket. It's like, but I really want to see her. So, well, you can't go in. I said, well, then I'm going to buy a ticket. So, and they asked him, well, where do you want to go? I said, well, it doesn't really matter. So he bought a first-class ticket to go to New Orleans to just walk in and go to the gate and meet me at the gate so that I wouldn't have to walk outside and so that she could spend more time with me. So
that's like, really romantic and amazing.
Yeah, it's lovely. You know, doesn't everybody want that kind of treatment?
But
yeah,
to buy
2.5 weeks
to get to anywhere just to get through security to be able to be at the gate when you got off that plane and
yeah.
spend more time with you. That's beautiful.
Yeah. And then he, when we had dinner, he gave me a cup. He gave me a beautiful cup, which said, I love you more than I've ever loved anyone in my life. And that was 2.5 weeks after we met. So it was just beautiful. It's just like he knew from the very beginning. And he, so they say men don't read mind, but he does read my mind. And we are completely connected. He treats me absolutely, you know, like the men should, and much more, really like the best woman, and I'm the best thing that ever happened to him. He's the best thing that ever happened to me. And before, I was actually Toastmasters, and then they asked me a question, what is the difference between puppy love, infatuation, and true love? So I was like, okay, what's the difference? And then I got great stories about infatuation, I got great stories about puppy love, and then the true love is like, well, when you have true love and you have that, you'll know. So, and I realized I have no idea what that means, although I've been in relationships before. And so when I met Paul, it's like, this is when I really discovered. I was going to look that up in the dictionary before. That wouldn't have served me so much. So that's when I really realized what that is, and like when you really want to be with this person, and like they say, true love is not finding someone you can live with; it's finding someone you can't live without. And that's absolutely how I feel with him.
So that's a fascinating perspective with that whole business of true love. And is there a definition that you have that you, you know, for people that have been jaded or, you know, didn't get it right the first time and you're helping them, how do you help them move into true love? Because it's a fabulous thing when you're in love. There's nothing better on this planet than being in love. So is there a way you help people actually get to that and what that is for themselves? Or even
yeah,
to do that,
absolutely.
To be in love with themselves?
Yeah, absolutely, because some people, they've never experienced love, right? Not just true love, but really being in love. And then a lot of us, we have limiting beliefs about love, how we associate love with pain, relationships with pain, and how it's never even ever going to work out. And people have beliefs, like my clients, like they won't want to marry me, they don't want to commit to me, somehow I'll never be enough. I have problems, so no one wants to be in a relationship with me. I was like, I don't know if I can ever be happy. People come with all kinds of beliefs about love and about themselves. You know what I mean?
Well, yep.
Yes. And that really stands on the way of happiness and on the way of happy marriage as well, and the women and men aligning with what they want. So the first thing is really to start changing some of those beliefs, right? And then so projecting what they want, really focus not on all the past failures and all the past negative experiences that they may have had. I definitely had some myself in the past. But really projecting what it is you want and that changing belief that it is possible, okay? So that it is possible and it will happen for you. And just have faith, like total faith, that regardless of all the past mistakes, you're just going to take one step at a time and meet some people and see and experience that for yourself. And just open up and take whatever beliefs are not serving you, whether that's I'm not enough or whether that's, you know, there are not enough men, available men out there, or this is not working, this is hard, I couldn't find anyone for such a long time. This is, those beliefs really attract that same type of energy and we get the results which match our beliefs. Or the true love doesn't exist, but this is what we get. So changing what we do is really work on changing that and instilling more empowering beliefs about their lives and what could be for them as well, for them to actually live it and attract different energy, different people to their lives.
That's I wonderful. Love that, and so positive.
Absolutely, and Lisa, before we, you know, I really want to talk about your wedding and weddings too, but before we do that, you're such a phenomenal coach, and I'm sure by this point people realize that. Can you share if people want to be coached by you, how they reach you?
Yeah, people can go to MarsVenusLifeCoaching.com, MarsVenusLifeCoaching.com. And what I'll do for those who are listening, I can actually offer a complimentary session, a strategy session on relationships to really, because I'm sure everyone has very unique questions, right? So I'll be able to help you with answering some of those and perhaps giving some strategies, whether you're looking for a relationship or already in a relationship, the person doesn't want to commit, or you just want to have a great wedding and really be happy afterwards to create a happy marriage. So, and I'll go ahead and give my email address as well. It's L-I-Z-A, and then it's T as in Tom, at MarsVenusCoaching.com. MarsVenusCoaching.com. And, yeah, so the website is, again, it's MarsVenus, MarsVenus, lifecoaching.com, and then you can get my phone number there as well. And you can feel free to contact me, and I'll share some more stuff on your particular situation.
Perfect. That's a very generous offer.
That's
yeah.
Really
it really helps people. Sometimes I actually have people after one session sometimes even just take action. Some of the clients, I got so many clients now because I have 10 coaching sessions a day, so and then just it's amazing what happens even after one coaching session sometimes, it will shift for people. They realize whether their relationship is right for them. Sometimes they've been wondering about that for 4 years or how to take that next step or what they can do. And it's very, very powerful. I mean, I had one of my clients who, like if you think what happens to people, they think, well, it works for others, but in my case, it's not going to work because I have some kind of a problem, right? Have you heard people say that?
Yeah.
Sure, yes.
The problem can be, well, I am not pretty enough, I am not thin enough, I am, you know, too emotionally crazy, whatever, I am sick, I am somehow something with me, which is not good. Maybe it works for other people. So I had one of my clients actually had, like a real serious disease, actually. The lady had cancer, right? It's like, well, who is going to want to date me if I have, like, cancer? My God, who would want to ever get into this? Can you imagine that?
Well, it's not. It has happened, so yeah.
Absolutely. So this could be a common thing that people will stop right there, right? They will never even go for it because who would want to get in a relationship with that? But we worked with her so that she gets some new beliefs about that. Who would really want to be with her, right? So if that's really the right person for her, then it doesn't matter what stage she is. he will want to be with her because he wants to be with her. And she actually found a wonderful man who she's with, and they're very happy together. And, like, but if you just keep living with the same beliefs, whatever your story is, then it's going to continue being your story.
Oh, that's such great advice. So I encourage everybody to come to a session with you. I mean, really, you're such a special coach. You truly
Thank
are.
Thank you.
And I know even in my own life, you know, just how lucky and blessed I am. Now, I've had the great honor and privilege of attending your wedding. And I have to tell you, it was truly the most spectacular and beautiful weddings that I've been to. And Suzanne and I have talked about all of the things that we want to share on this wedding show, about the preparation of weddings, about families coming to weddings, about beautiful, amazing vows, about beautiful rituals that are done at weddings. And it's like all of these things that we, you know, have guests lined up for and shows in the future and things that we really want to be able to talk to our listeners about, your wedding encompassed all of these things. And so many people are so nervous. And the night before, you were so relaxed, and your family's so lovely, and your wedding was so seamless and really one of those beautiful, you know, just it really was the fairy tale come true. So can you share with our listeners, how did you do that?
That's a good one, right? Because people get so stressed out around weddings, right? So I think number one thing for me was that I truly knew that this is the man that I wanted to marry, right? I didn't have any doubts. He didn't have any doubts. And I think this is the most important piece of any wedding. What else could go wrong? If you're marrying the right person, it's perfect. So that's the core underlying belief, and this is just the happiness that surrounds it. But many people get stressed out because they're like, my God, there's so many people coming in, right? It could be, you know, 100 people or more. So for me, just it's about like manifesting what you want, right? So what we did with Paul, we actually wrote down a list of how we want our wedding to be as well. And this is different from that 10-page to-do list for the wedding, which wasn't creating too much tranquility. But it's like, oh, my God, all those things to do, right, for this organization-wise. But a list of how did we really want to feel during this wedding? How did we want this day to be? So we wrote down, it's like, the weather is going to be beautiful. And it's just like, you can close your eyes and imagine right now, right, if that's your wedding. So how do you want it to be, like, beautiful weather was outside overlooking the ocean, or whatever that is going to be for you. And then you can even imagine that moment in wedding dress, and you're going to get married to this person. And this is just beautiful. I can imagine how the people who are coming in are going to be really friendly to you. They're going to love you. Everything's going to work out perfect. And you just visualize that. The food is going to be great. Music is going to be great. Like, just visualize that everything is going to work out somehow. We don't know how yet, even if not all pieces are together. And just even project that in your mind versus getting stressed over every single thing. That was very powerful for us.
That's great advice. Suzanne?
Yes.
Well, so what I really want to hear now, because Nicole's been telling me about your wedding all day, and I feel like I've come to a movie and I'm waiting for the wedding scene. So tell us about your wedding, Lisa. Tell us about this amazing event. What actually happened? Walk us through it in Technicolor, if you would.
And I just, before she starts, you know, before you start and you talk about people coming in, your people came from very far. They did not come from 3 miles down the block.
Well, that's right. So they came in from Russia. I had a few people fly from different countries. We had people coming from Russia, from Canada, and a lot of different states. And so the wedding, we wanted to have a certain number of people. That's how many people responded and said that they were going to show up. And I mean, it was beautiful. I wanted to have a wedding by the beach, and we found that, and it was the ceremony outside. And so everything just flowed, and my husband looked super handsome, and of course I looked beautiful, and everyone was super nice, and it just like all flowed. But in terms of preparation for that, it was like a master to-do list to make that happen. and what helped me to get to that, and I had a wonderful experience with dancing and photography and everything else, was to really break everything down into, okay, what are we going to do? And then just sometimes, like, I didn't have to do it all on my own. At this point, I think I would have hired a coordinator because it still took a lot of time. And just delegated some of the pieces. Some of them my husband organized, some of them my family organized, right? And just let other people help you with that. Otherwise, it's too overwhelming. So it was just gorgeous, the most happy day. And so the really nice ritual we did, which is impromptu, the day after the wedding, we had some people over at the house, and so Nicole was there as well, and everyone shared what the most beautiful moments were. And it was very, very touching just to hear that again. And Nicole actually did, like, a beautiful poem at the wedding. People said toast also. So about how I met the person, and he was absolutely the one. And I remember this poem, when I read it, it made me cry, so I knew, oh, that's the poem. So it made me cry at the wedding again. So it was just so perfect. And it just, like, the people make it wonderful. And it's, I think it's the internal state, really. And I think it's good if it's not the bride coordinating most of the thing, but there's someone else doing that. This way you have more time to really enjoy it and relax versus running the show.
That makes a lot of sense. So, you know, I want to open up the lines now, because I know that we have one of the founders of Wake Up Women. And also I want to just talk and have Nicole talk about our upcoming website and what we're going to be doing with a website here, too, because we've got some great things that are happening with the website as well.
Absolutely.
Before we move on, I just have a quick question for you, Lisa. You know, having been to your wedding, I thought that photographer was amazing.
Thank you.
Shots that he took of your family and of you and the energy. And so was there a special process in finding someone to capture your image? Because the synergy of energy between you and Paul and the photographer was just so in sync.
Yeah, we had a special process. So that process was that I needed to look at as many photographers as possible just to find the perfect one, and that my husband likes to make good decisions, which was one of the points on my list, that he makes good decisions. So basically, I was looking at different sites and comparing and looking and just taking, you know, meeting with them. And then at some point, it was enough is enough. You've seen so many already. So he said, okay, so we have time by this date, and let's just pick the best we find at this point. So we made a joint decision at this point on which one we are going to go with, and that really balanced out, because you can really go perfectionist on this, right? Or you can just see the best you have at the moment and go with that and know that everything is going to be fine. So that was my process. That balanced out with his process.
That's amazing. That was because it was just spectacular, and, you know, and I really... hope one day that somebody works with me so beautifully, because you look just so gorgeous. But it was it was just the moments that you would look at each other, your family, that he caught those moments in time. He was there as part of you instead of someone you hired. His energy was just part of the seamlessness of the ceremony.
It was beautiful. And he really participated in organizing a lot of stuff, which really helped. And the woman, it's what women need to learn, is really ask men for what they want, and sometimes they have trouble with that. So it's really about asking for help, asking people, whether that's your future husband or anyone else, to help you with something. So he booked the honeymoon completely, so we went to Machu Picchu. We climbed the Machu Picchu Trail for 4 days, and then we went to Galapagos Islands, which is beautiful to see the huge turtles, and we went to Amazon jungle, so some of the things we both wanted to see, and it was gorgeous. It was, I mean, the wedding was beautiful, the date was beautiful, and so was the honeymoon, but the whole idea is really what it's for, right? You enjoy the moment, but it's really about knowing that you are going to be with the right person, and whatever the day brings, it's just, it's not even about exactly that moment, right? It's about the person you're married, and it's going to be perfect regardless, and then really how to have this happy relationship after that as well. How do you continue happy, not just in this day, right, but so that you'll always be in a wonderful relationship. I think that's the key.
That's great. And Lisa, before, you know, Karen talks, can you just once more give us your information to reach you? It was Lisa T.
Lisa T as in Tom.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
At MarsVenusCoaching.com.
Perfect.
Now, Lisa, is that Mars Venus Life Coaching or Mars Venus Coaching?
Yeah, the email is lisat@marsvenuscoaching.com, and
okay.
The website is www.marsvenuslifecoaching.com.
Okay.
Perfect. That's great.
That's right. Actually, yes, feel free to reach out.
This is actually perfect because as parents coming on, you know, we're doing a series of books before, during, and after the marriage with the Wake Up Women series, and you really encompass all of that, and so it's just so brilliant to hear your story, to share in your love and your fairy tale, and I think that anybody would be so lucky to be coached by you, either somebody that's starting a relationship, looking for a relationship, or somebody that's in a relationship and in love and, you know, looking to enhance that and really have a happy life together. So I really encourage everybody to find you. So.
Thank you. Thank you. It's really, I've realized that after I've manifested different things in my life in terms of the, like, the perfect dream job and the dream business, right, whether that was, got the dream car and other things, the dog and so many things, but, like, finding the person and marrying the person you absolutely love, there's nothing that compares to this. So it's really my passion to help people find the person and be with the person and have a happy relationship, because if you don't have that, then you don't have complete, you know, peace and happiness. So whatever else, that's what I believe anyway. So I love doing that.
And I love that outlook. It's just so positive and so uplifting, Lisa. So I want to bring Karen Mayfield on, who's both the founder of Wake Up Women and also is a certified Mars-Venus coach. So, Karen, welcome to the show, and talk about Wake Up Women and our relationship books and upcoming events.
Great. Thank you, Anne, and hi, Lisa, and hi, Nicole. We have coming up Wake Up Women Presents Looking for Love Online of All Places. And interesting enough, this book is based on the five stages of dating that Dr. John Gray talks about in the Women Are from Mars. And I mean, men are from Mars, women are from Venus.
Some of them are,
on.
Right? Yeah.
I'm getting our planets mixed up. But, you know, Dr. Gray talks about the five stages of dating. But when he wrote the book, you know, online dating wasn't even going on then. And so what I wanted to do was bring out a lot of success stories from people who have had, you know, success with online dating, like myself, using the five stages of dating and how they apply to online, you know, to online. And then we also have the wedding book, you know, that before you get married, you know, getting married, and then after, you know, kind of like living happily ever after. So we also have the wedding books that's coming up, plus the dating book. And just here in the next couple of weeks, or about 3 or 4 weeks from now, we have the our videos that we're going to have, where we're actually going to be able to get on there and share with people all over the world a little glimpse of our live events. So, you know, keep an eye out for that, because we'll have a website coming up for wakeupwomenevents.com, and join us there. You can also go to wakeupwomen.com, find out about any upcoming books that we have. We'll have the wedding books, the covers done pretty fast, and they'll be up online, and you can submit your stories to Karen@wakeupwomen.com. And be included in one of our future books if you've got a story to share. we want to share it with the world. So thank you for having me on. Thank you, Lisa, for coming and sharing with us.
Absolutely. And Karen, when is your live video summit, and how do people get involved in that?
March the 8th, 9th, and 10th. It's going to be on International Women's Day. And go to the website. You can actually find it on the wakeupwomen.com site now. But here in the next few days, we will have a website that's dedicated to all of the Wake Up Women events.
Oh, that's so exciting. I mean, what great information for women. Truly,
absolutely.
For women around the planet, around the globe. And then you also have some live events coming up, don't you? Have one coming up in Los Angeles in May?
Yes, Los Angeles, Scottsdale, Arizona, some other cities also that will be announced later on in the year, possibly Florida, maybe Maryland. So we have, all the time we're getting invitations to come to other cities, so we could come to a city near you.
That's great, and I also, I'm just so excited, and I hope that you just want to talk about it for a second, that we've got an upcoming movie as well.
Oh, my God, I can't believe I forgot about the Wake Up Women movie. Yes, as a matter of fact, we're going to start. I mean, that's been one of my most exciting things. If you have a business that makes a difference in the lives of people on this planet, we want to get to know you. We want to going to tell the history, the story about Wake Up Women. It's what I refer to as her story, and and how women are going to change the world and impact the way the economy's rebounding and different stuff. But also, I think that one day, we're going to have a woman president in the United States, and I just think that it's our time. It's time for women to wake up, and. The goal for Wake Up Women is that we connect like a vine and spread the virus, the message of happiness, health, wealth, peace of mind, so that each and every one of us can live the life of.
That's so great, Karen, and so much in alignment with, what Lisa's talking about and, sounds like what being a Mars-Venus coach is about, too, because I'm not one of those, but, as a coach, it certainly is what we all strive to do. So let everybody know what the dates are for the May event so that if they want to mark their calendars, they can. When is the Wake Up Women event going to be in May?
I believe it would be the second week around the 15th through the 17th. I don't have my calendar in there exactly. We were just firming up the dates today. The first one is going to be in Los Angeles, though, but check the website because it's going to be announced here within the next 4 or 5 days.
Fabulous.
So exciting. I'm sure it's going to be a credible event. And Lisa, certainly, I always love seeing you. It would be so nice to have you come out to California. And when is the baby due?
Well, the baby is in May. That's a perfect baby. End of May. That's right.
It's so funny. As Lisa's talking
next step. That's right.
But she manifested the car, and she manifested the man, and she manifested the job. And then you did hear her say she did manifest the dog. And I love, because you hear Lisa is so positive, and I just want you to share with the audience the name of your dog.
Sunshine.
Oh, how fun is that?
Sunshine in her life every day.
Yeah, the car story is very funny because at the same time I was looking for a husband, I was also looking for a car because I just moved to beautiful California from New York and I definitely needed one. And I couldn't get one at the time because I just moved and just invested in the business, so I didn't have really like a full-time job to prove the income. It was started a new business there from scratch in California, and then the dealerships wouldn't give it to me, basically. I came to a few, and they said no a few times. So I was like, but I really believed that I was going to get my Red Mazda, so this is what I wanted. And I had my vision board with Red Mazda on the wall, and I visualized how I'm going to have it, regardless of anything. And so when I actually met my future husband, he happened to have an extra car which was a red Mazda. He just happened to have that. That he shipped for me from New York to California so that I could have that. So this is talking about no resources of getting that at the time.
Well, you know, that's a great illustration of how the power of visioning and manifestation works. And so I'd like you to talk to everybody and tell everybody about what a relationship coach does. And, you know, tell us a little bit about you and how you work as a relationship coach with people who come to you.
Yeah, as a relationship coach, it could be at different stages of relationship, right? So if that's the person looking for a relationship, then we'll look at what that looks like, and then what needs to happen there. We'll work together and come up with some strategies, get clarity on what we want, right, and get some strategies on how to get there, and accountability and support to actually make this happen. It's usually a person working together to really get results. And for relationship coaching, it's really important also once you get married or while you're dating. And what happens is that men are from Mars and men are from Venus, and a lot of times we have different needs as well. And we may, even if we're with the right person, a lot of misunderstandings happening here. So it's really about working together to understand the other person, right, understand what they need. Sometimes people say, well, I've done everything already, everything, but it may not be everything. It may not be actually what they needed you to do. Right, so, for example, for men, their primary needs are different than women's primary needs. So men, they need trust, right? They need acceptance and appreciation. Those are top three. For women, they're also important, but not as important. And then what women often do is that they don't appreciate men enough, right? Or they want to change him all the time. And like they say, sometimes couples come into a relationship, and what happens is that a man gets married thinking that woman is going to stay the same always, and the woman gets married thinking that the man is going to change, and in the end, they both get disappointed.
Yeah, that can be tough.
It's tough, right? So it's not really about changing the person so much, and sometimes it's about changing the approach, right? So some couples are at different stages. Sometimes there is love and passion in a relationship. Sometimes there is love and no passion. Sometimes there is passion and no love. And then we work together. It could be either with the person individually or with a couple as well. And I really talk about their needs. And it's different than counseling because it's more results-oriented and future-focused, right? We don't psychoanalyze everything which happened in the past, all the problems. We really focus on solutions and brainstorm solutions. So it's usually a faster approach, and it's very effective. So it's been great.
Now, do people ask you, Lisa, like, well, how many sessions is it going to take me? Or is there a standard rule of thumb about how long it takes for relationship coaching or for people to actually find their people, and how you, you know, can you give us a little bit about what it looks like when somebody works with you and some of those common questions that people ask when they want to work with a relationship coach?
Yeah, with coaching, I mean, it's usually at least 3 months commitment, right, because you can't see the change so quickly. You can definitely see something happen, some momentum in the beginning, but if I really want lasting change, usually it's recommended to do at least 3 months, and more so 6 months or a year. It doesn't have to be just for relationship coaching. It could be just life coaching, because a lot of times it's not just about relationship. It could be about our self-image as well, and other things that are going on at the same time. But there are different programs, and it's hard to tell, well, how fast am I going to find this person? We can definitely project, right? We can write down what we want. And everyone has a little bit different experience, but definitely there are a lot of things which are released through coaching, and people get faster results through this. And sometimes they have shifts. They've been married for a long time, and suddenly they have those shifts that really help them to appreciate each other more and understand each other. And they come back and like, wow, I just had like a breakthrough over here in my relationship that I haven't had for so many years. So it's incredible.
That's really exciting.
Yep.
That's great.
Well, you know, what are the things that people come to you most often for, Lisa? What are the, you know, the common relationship issues? Is it mainly people who are wanting to get married? Is it more after people are married? What is the predominant thing that people come to you for?
Yeah, all different stages. So it could be a woman or a man who wants to find a relationship. Let's say a woman who hasn't been in a relationship but maybe for 20 years, for example, right? And or a serious relationship. Or someone could be like, I've never been even in a good relationship or that they can remember. Or they're just having trouble that they are with different men and things like that, but they're having trouble for the person to get married to them, right? So it could be finding the right person. It could be that the person is in a relationship and they feel like, wow, I don't really know if that's the one for me. I have to decide, and I want to either go ahead and go to the next stage, or I want to go ahead and leave. And so that can be very challenging as well. So, or it could be like, I want to get married to this person, but he wouldn't propose. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go from here. So we work on that and actually coming up with an action plan of what can we do to, if you want to get married, right, but it's not happening, what can you do within your power to get there? Then once it's a relationship, different stages, right? If people have been together for a long time, it could be a loss of passion completely. So complete loss of passion for many years, right? So people become more like roommates. And not so close anymore. The intimacy is lost, and sometimes they almost hate each other, right? Or they're just, you know, like friends. And then they got to regain that sense of intimacy and passion, understanding as well. Men complain about different things. Women complain about different things, right? So women a lot of times complain that men don't listen. Right, that he doesn't listen to me. I don't know what to do. I want him to be more romantic, right? I want him to take more initiative and do something special together. So men kind of get lazy sometimes and help me more with this and that. And how do you do that? And for men, sometimes they come in and say, well, you know, there's no sex and it hasn't been for a long time. Or, for example, she is like so explosive, I don't even know what to do or how to control those tempers. Or just all kinds of different things, different stages.
Wow.
Now, I have a question for you, you know, for our listeners. So a lot of times people think about coaching that the person has to be in front of you or you go to their office, but you coach on the phone as well as on Skype too, right? So people can be in any state or any country and they can work with you.
Absolutely, yes. I coach people from different states, different countries. I have clients in Ecuador. I have them in Venezuela. I have them in London, obviously in the U.S., and Norway, a lot of different countries. So it can happen from anywhere in the world at this point. I think U.S. has a really developed, it's a newer field, coaching. So U.S. has great coaches as well. So some of the other countries as well, if it can happen, obviously, people are realizing more what that is in the U.S. And a lot of times people know what is coaching, what is a coach. So it really is hard to say. It's like people don't just wake up and say, I need coaching. They usually come up and then they have a problem. They have a problem in their relationship or they want certain things. They don't want things to be the same anymore. So it's about sometimes the complimentary session, just really talking about it and experiencing what that feels like. And then you see if that's the right approach for you, because it is very effective, but it's more about experiencing it. It's just kind of like true love. You've got to experience and then you know what it is.
That's funny. And now you have a very special gift because you're a bilingual coach as well.
Right.
So.
I coach in English and Spanish and Russian as well. Yeah. So
that's
love it.
Incredible.
Well, that's a lot of diversity there. And then I know that, you know, John Gray in his work with you guys, he actually has some tips for newlyweds. Can you share with us what some of those tips are, Lisa, from him about newlyweds? And I'm curious what of those you've actually used in your own marriage.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, number one, it could be for newlyweds or new relationships as well, right? What I know that I've made this mistake in the past for women, and it's giving too much advice to a man. Okay, so I would go in before in a past relationship, and I would definitely tell the men what to do. Have you ever told a man what to do?
Many times.
Yeah.
So they tend not to like it so much sometimes. Have you noticed that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was one thing for me. And Jonah Gray, he tells a great story, which was very powerful for me in his book, is that this knight finds his, he goes to fight the dragons, and then he sees a castle, and then there is a princess on top of the castle, and the castle, you know, there is a dragon there. So he goes up there, kills the dragon, and then saves the princess. And then the princess is happy, the whole town is happy, and then so they live happily, and they get married with the princess, and that's just so great and wonderful. And then he goes, the knight goes on another journey, and then he goes in, he fights all the dragons, and he comes back, and his princess is back in the castle, and then there's dragon there again. And he wants to go to kill the dragon, but the princess says, no, 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 don't kill him this way. You've got to use, like, the rope. You've got to use the rope with this dragon. So he uses the rope, and then the princess is happy, and then the town is happy, but the knight is like, she's not so happy anymore. I mean, she did it, but she pretty much told him what to do. And then he comes back again after another battle, and then I guess this place is infested with dragons because there was another dragon attacking his princess, and he wanted to kill him, and then he's thinking, wow, like, what should I do? And there's like, the prince like, listen, listen, you've got to use the poison. This time you've got to use the poison to kill this dragon. And then he uses the poison. And then at this point, the princess is happy, the town is happy, but the knight is a little bit depressed at this point. He's like, oh, my God, this woman, she's telling me what to do. Like, he feels like he didn't really do it. And then the third time he comes from a battle, and then he wants to kill the dragon. He's like, oh, my God, should I use, like, my rope? Should I kill the poison, or what should I do? And then the princess, like, gives some more advice over there from the castle. So finally he kills the dragon, but gets a little bit burnt, and he totally loses his self-confidence there because he feels like, you know, she's telling him what to do. He doesn't know what to do anymore. And then he goes off in another battle, and then he finds another princess, and she's in the castle. And then so he goes in, and there is dragon attacking that princess, and then he's thinking, well, what should I use? The other princess doesn't say anything, so he just, you know, kills the dragon, and he decides to stay with that other princess, and he decides to stay with her, but before they really stay together for long term, he makes sure that she doesn't tell him what to do and tell him whether to use a rope or poison or whatever else. So for me, that was like a revelation. It's like, oh, my God, I'm definitely giving them way too much advice, telling them what to do, and they really don't like that because they want to own what they're doing. So I think that's one of the biggest ones for women. Have you experienced that in your own lives as well sometimes?
That's a great story. Yes,
I have, absolutely.
Yep, and I feel like, you know, it takes people's power away, and I don't think anyone likes to have their power taken away by being told what to do. Most people would rather have some kind of consensus and both people's opinions honored and then somehow that put together. So that story really exemplifies that.
Yeah, yeah. And it comes into, you know, there are no princesses anymore, right, in terms of the dragons. But in the relationships, when people come up, basically a man would say, well, you know, my wife, I just came in and I wanted to cook something, but she's telling me, no, you're not doing that right. You've got to turn the stove on this flame, right, or you've got to do it this way. It's like, and she's telling him what to do. It's like, at this point, listen, if you know how to do it, you do it yourself then, because he gets irritated and she doesn't know what's going on because she's just trying to help. So, and they just, the men have different needs for trust, that she trusts that he's going to do his best.
You know, that brings up an interesting point, Lisa, and that's about communication. It seems like that story really talks about, you know, communicating between people, between yourself and your beloved. And are there some tips for doing that in a way where both people can feel heard and honored and received?
Yes, yes. And for women, it would be to really communicate. I think what really works for me in my relationship is the men, they want to be appreciated. So sometimes we take it for granted, all little things that men do, and that happens in relationship a lot. And then one of the biggest complaints for men after a while is that she doesn't, you know, appreciate what I do. So for me, it's been really like every time my husband does something nice, I thank him for that. If he brings me flowers, which he does, or when the flowers are gone, he brings me one. So I thank him for that. So when he takes out the trash, I thank him. And it's like a rewarded behavior, right? I ask him to do something, and then I thank him versus just not noticing and only pointing out things that they don't do and get irritated about it. So it's changing that behavior from telling him, listen, you didn't do this, to saying, well, Bradley, could you please do this? And then actually thank him and tell him that he's great and how much you love him. And then this would be more of a communication for him and rewarded behavior. He'll do more of that, what we want.
Well, so that brings up the other side of that coin. And this is when people have been in relationships for a long time. And, you know, it would seem like there's sort of routines that get established, like you take out the trash at a certain time, you do this or you do that. And for those common things, what happens if that there's not a good flow for people in their relationships? And so, you know, sometimes I think people think, well, you should just be doing that without me having to ask or without me having to thank you or acknowledge you. I do these things for you. So how do you help people reconcile that when they kind of aren't on that same page anymore?
That's right, and that can be an issue, right, because they don't appreciate it, and everything is taken for granted at this point, right, and men still need to be appreciated. So it's about talking about the needs of the other person and what would he need and changing that behavior to really be appreciative at this point and to trust the person on the woman's side, right, and on the men's side, women complain that men don't listen, right? It's kind of training the man a lot of times how to really listen to a woman. And for women also, working with them to tell them how can they get what they need from a man as well. How can they get them to listen? Because what often happens is that when a relationship is unhappy, it's because the woman is unhappy. Right? So they say, happy wife, happy life. And what John Gray says is that a woman shouldn't really count on her happiness, that the man is going to provide all of that. It's really 90% of her responsibility to be happy herself, okay? So because if he can't just make her happy, she needs to be happy herself and do whatever that takes, certain things which build her happiness, her John Gray talks about oxytocin level, right? Her level of love that she experiences and feeling great. And a man, he just gives you extra 10%. He is like a dessert on top of the main course, like how he explains it. So for us, we've got to take ownership of our own happiness as women and not count on men for all of that. And then just he will be something extra on top of that. Just look at it this way. Does that make sense?
That makes total sense.
Look at it. Yes.
Yeah. And then what about from the men's perspective? You know, if you're talking about us being whole and complete and then coming to a relationship, how about from the men's perspective?
Yeah, from a men's perspective, what John Gray, he has a great resource on actually how to score points with women. Okay, men love that list. How do you score? 100 ways to score points with women. And then the way women keep score is like one little thing at a time, because men tend to think that if I do something huge, like I make my salary, I bring money, this is like 100 points, right, because I was great and I'm supporting the family. But for women, this is just like 1 point. She needs more. She needs him to listen to her and appreciate and really care about her and help. So even like a rose would be the same amount of points as a salary sometimes. So he needs to start doing the little things and really start to listen to the woman, even if she goes around and doesn't get to the point yet, because men, they all want to get to the point. So it's about, for the men also, sometimes for them to work together, and for a woman to express them and how much that means to her if she listens to her and make it friend, like man-friendly, the way she talks as well, so kind of to prepare him for what's to come as well.
So can I touch on the point as well, Lisa? You know, when you're talking about the point system, I also know that John talks about that, you know, the individual points, that if a man brings 3 dozen roses, it's still a point. But if he brought a rose every Friday, or, you know, that he's then accumulating points, that each one of those items represents points to a woman. You know, gratification is 1 point, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't still go out to dinner or do something lovely at home. So.
Yeah. It's that accumulating of those points, and then if women have a negative balance of, like, the men, they've been doing all those things wrong, and then they don't have points anymore, so they're like a zero, and that's how women look at them. So if a man is just getting little things for a romance or whatever she needs to bring that back, right? And for women, it's sometimes really appreciating him for who he is and not pointing out his mistakes, kind of loving him regardless without trying to change, even just accepting him for who he is, even with all his mistakes. So we have great resources in terms of, like, the points of how to increase oxytocin level for women, for them to be happy, and also how to score points with a woman for a man, which actually women can give this list to men. This is how you can make me happy. So if you go ahead and email me, I'll send you that list so that you can start implementing some of those things. They're great.
Well, that's great. So let me give your email again, Lisa, because that's that would be a helpful thing for our listeners for sure.
Yes, here is my list to do, what I can do to make a woman happy, or this is what I can do to really make my man happy. So it's great. And it's Liza, T as in Tom, at Mars, M-A-R-S, Venus, V-E-N-U-S.com. Lisa T at MarsVenusCoaching.com.
Wow. Well, this has been a fascinating conversation that we've had today, Lisa, and it's been interesting to have both you and Nicole be these amazing things. And it's amazing, Nicole, don't you think that, I mean, I've heard things I've never heard before.
Oh,
and,
wonderful.
I mean, and I can tell you in my own life, and you know, and I know many of our viewers and, you know, listeners know, I travel the world and I spend my life with multitudes of some of the top coaches in the world, and nobody coaches like Lisa. She is so intuitive. She is so skilled. She is so knowledgeable, and she is so results-oriented. And every time I talk to her, I learn. And, I mean, I'm a trained Mars Venus coach. Karen is a trained Mars Venus coach, and I still continue to learn and to grow, and, you know, and I'm better, and I always open my heart more just knowing her. So, you know, she's a true gift in my life, and I know that she can be to anybody who's listening, so I encourage you all to reach out to her.
Well, thank you.
It's fantastic, and thanks for coming on the show with us today, Lisa. It's been a great pleasure to have you, and we're going to be having another great guest next week talking about some other interesting aspect of relationships and weddings and before I do, and after I do, and also happily ever after. And it's interesting just to see how all of these things can come together and you know, blend, and how a relationship coach can take you to so many different places. So are there any closing thoughts that you have, Lisa, or Nicole?
Yeah,
you want
just
to share?
For all those who are getting married, okay, just imagine that your wedding is going to be absolutely beautiful. That regardless of all the details and all the to-dos, just close your eyes and imagine how perfect you want that to be. How do you really want it, right? And feel that. Imagine it with colors and pictures, and feel the emotion. And this way you project that. You project the positive image versus all the fears and all the negative things that could possibly happen there. And for those of you who haven't found the one yet, just like bring that out, change your energy and start believing that it is possible for you to do that and have a great relationship regardless of any challenges in the past, because like Tony Robbins says, the past does not equal the future, so you can really create what you want. And a lot of it is not just the person you're with, but it's your energy and your beliefs which are giving you what you want. So sometimes I had to change my beliefs to really get what I wanted to make a shift. So just take charge of that and what you're creating, and good luck and happy love for you.
Thank you much. And Nicole, any parting thoughts?
No, I just want to thank our guests, Lisa Davis and Karen Mayfield, and always, Suzanne, thanks to you. It's always wonderful to talk to you.
It's a pleasure, Nicole, doing this interview with you. So join us again next week for Wake Up Weddings, and have a great week in the meantime. Thanks for joining us.
All right.
Let no one tell you what you can be when God creates.